And welcome back to the Morning Blitz here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. Joining us now, guy that I really respect a lot. He's a broadcaster for CBS Sports. He is Ian Eagle. Ian, how are you doing today, man?
Doing fine. Good morning, guys. Shows you how much I like you that I'm willing to wake up and make this happen.
Well, we appreciate you joining us today. So you were in Minnesota for their last game. What was that like, broadcasting a game when there's so much off the field that you have to discuss while you were actually broadcasting the game that is actually being played in front of you? What is that like as a broadcaster?
Well, you know, philosophically, my feeling has always been deal with it. Deal with it right away. Don't sugarcoat it. Handle the facts that you do have, and then make the transition to football, because you do have a three-hour broadcast in front of you. It's not a talk show. It's not an issues broadcast. It is a play-by-play broadcast, and you're there to chronicle the action. But you can't pretend as if there isn't this vibe around the stadium. There clearly was. There was a strange feeling around Minneapolis the 2 days leading up to the game, and I think fans were torn, very torn, as to how to feel. They've been rooting for this player, Adrian Peterson, from the day he entered the league. He's been a tremendous performer, one of the top five superstars in the NFL, yet you've got to balance that out with your personal feelings on how he has handled himself as a parent. So I think that's where we're at in sports. It used to be just an escape for people, and it no longer is. We deal with real life and real life situations. It was right on the heels of the Ray Rice scenario. So, to be honest, I think fans have kind of gotten accustomed to the fact that real life bleeds over into the sports world.
And once again, we are joined right now by Ian Eagle of CBS Sports. You were in you were calling the Baltimore game as well. What were the differences that you noticed in the fans? Was there any difference in how the fans reacted to the Adrian Peterson case as opposed to the Ray Rice case?
Yeah, very much so. I think Baltimore was almost an eerie feeling and a sense of real somber feelings around the stadium, because the video changed everything. That's just how it is. That's the reality. There have been many domestic violence cases in professional sports, but we've just never seen the graphic case that we saw with Ray Rice. And it plays a little bit to our naivete as a general public. What did we think happened in that elevator? You know, this idea after seeing the video, oh, I had no idea. Well, look, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the video fragments that we saw prior to the whole video being released was her on the floor in a seemingly unconscious state. How did she get there? Football players, most of them are very large human beings, and when they're put in a position where they can physically dominate like they have in many of these cases, I'm not really sure what people visualize to be happening in these domestic violence cases, but the video, I think, changed everything. It took a while. It took a while for that stadium to show the normal kind of enthusiasm that it does. It's one of the best home field atmospheres in the NFL, and I think for the fans, there was a sense of confusion as to how to act and whether or not it was okay to cheer. Took a little while. Once Baltimore got it going, it felt like M&T Bank Stadium again. But unlike Minnesota, where I thought pregame, you didn't quite have that same funeral-like atmosphere that it did in Baltimore prior to that game.
And we're going to switch over to a nice, a little bit of a happier note. We'll go on to the action on the field now. You're in New York this week. You have the for CBS, you're in New York, rather. You have the Texans and the Giants. Giants are a total mess right now. The Texans are 2-0 for the second straight year. What are you looking for in that game, especially with Eli Manning's permanent interception bug at this point?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of nuggets there. Houston, you mentioned they were 2-0 last year. They went on a 14-game losing streak, and people lost their jobs with the Texans. They're actually 2-0. This is hard to believe. 2-0 for the fifth consecutive season. They've just had a knack for getting out of the gate well, and we know in prior years the team showed a lot of progress and promise for being a legitimate AFC contender. That's when Matt Schaub had it going. That's when Gary Kubiak was pushing all the right buttons. And then the bottom dropped out last year. They've made a clean sweep to the coaching staff. Bill O'Brien takes over. And he's really injected that team with a new attitude and a new culture in Houston. And it's working. Ryan Fitzpatrick, they sign him really as a stopgap measure, trying to figure out who the future is going to be. Not sure if it's going to be Ryan Mallett, who they acquired in a deal with New England before the regular season got going. But Fitzpatrick has been perfect. He's been a great fit for what they're looking for. They're basically asking him to be a game manager, but he's been better than that. He's made very few mistakes. No turnovers so far. That's something that has plagued him in past years with Tennessee and with Cincinnati and with Buffalo, his stops along the way since coming out of Harvard. So a really good story developing in Houston, and Arian Foster being back, looking healthy, that's changed their offense, and they feel like they could be a player in a rather weak division right now. They could be a factor come playoff time if they can get everything together offensively and really take that next step with a defense that has shown promise in the past. For the Giants, I think everybody anticipated this. There was a curiosity to see whether or not Ben McAdoo's offense from Green Bay would be a good fit for Eli Manning after all these years in the league, after two Super Bowl titles. This kind of change normally doesn't happen for a player that is a veteran like Eli that stays on the same team. It may happen if you change teams and maybe you've got to adjust to a new offense, but it's rare that a team that's been as successful as the Giants would make changes like they've made to their approach offensively. So far, it has been a struggle, although there were some positive signs against Arizona. They really lost that game because of special teams, allowing Ted Ginn to return a punt for a touchdown. That changed the game, and then back-ended by a fumble on a kickoff return. There was a fumble also on offense by Rashad Jennings, the running back. So it really wasn't Eli's fault, but they lost to a backup quarterback, Drew Stanton, and the Arizona Cardinals. It wasn't even Carson Palmer starting the game or playing in the game at home. So there's trouble right now. Tom Coughlin is feeling it. He's remaining very positive and encouraging. But they're dealing with some serious injuries. Thurman goes down. Beeson could be out for an extended period of time. Offensive line played better in week two compared to week one. I called that Giants-Detroit game on Monday night on the radio, and they were abysmal. What are the answers? Really, it's based on whether or not this offense takes hold and they can get Victor Cruz back involved, because Cruz has regressed so far in the first 2 weeks of this season. And I think the Giants feel as if they're getting better, but there just hasn't been any proof of it.
We are speaking with Ian Eagle of CBS Sports and of Westwood One. We'll get back to the actual football on the field here in just a second, but you mentioned you've done the Monday night football games. You do the Thursday night football. You do Sunday games as well for TV. What's that like with so many assignments each week? Can that be difficult sometimes?
Yeah, I think the travel is probably the most difficult part, to be honest with you guys. Once we get to the games, I'm ready to go. I'm prepared. That's something that I take a lot of pride in, compartmentalizing and making sure that I've got my thoughts in order. You know, I just had wrapped up 9 days at the U.S. Open. So my main concern in week one of the NFL season was just making sure that Ekaterina Makarova wasn't catching a big touchdown pass over the middle for the Detroit Lions. I just didn't want to cross the wires. Other than that, it's been a blast. You know, this is what I dreamed of doing, and the fact that I get to do it on a number of different outlets has been an added bonus. So no complaints on this end, other than just the airplanes and the flights and some guy sitting next to you sneezing and making contact with you and you thinking the worst that he just gave you some kind of bacteria. That's about it.
So you've got Atlanta and Tampa Bay this year. I don't know if Tampa Bay's got, or this week, excuse me. I don't know if Tampa Bay has some kind of virus or what, but what's going on with them the first 2 weeks? I thought they would maybe be a playoff team. They look awful.
Yeah, people jumped on that bandwagon based on the fact that Lovie Smith was bringing back the Tampa 2. They had the pieces in place defensively. They've dealt with a bunch of injuries as well. And last week, some bad luck, let's face it, against St. Louis, end of the game. Their talented rookie wide receiver, Mike Evans, injures himself as he goes down. They're trying to drive down the field and get themselves in position to maybe win the game against St. Louis. And there's a 10-second runoff because he couldn't physically get up, and the game ends. It ends on such a bizarre note. So this team offensively, Doug Martin not available in week two. They take a hit there. Bolden is certainly capable, as he's proven, but I don't know. I don't know about the mix on this team. I don't know if they're just struggling out of the gate and they'll be able to get themselves together. This is a team that was 0-8 last year. People may have forgotten that this team, there was a stretch where we thought they could go 0-16. They ended up winning four games. Greg Schiano lost his job. The GM lost his job, Mark Domenech. So they cleaned house. With that said, I do think Lovie Smith's reputation is strong, and his success in Chicago, to me, buys him time with Tampa Bay to make the changes that they've made. And they did make a lot of personnel changes. They completely revamped their offensive line. So this takes time. It's not solved in a week or 2 weeks. I do believe when the smoke clears, you'll see improvement from the Buccaneers. They've got a lot of young players on this team, and now it's just a matter of showing a little bit of patience.
All right, and we'll go with a few quick hitters here to finish off here. Who's been your biggest surprise so far in the NFL in through 2 weeks?
I just think the way Buffalo has finished, the way in week one we saw them handle their business and then back it up in week two with another win and really dominated Miami in week two. I think a lot of people felt that that could implode with Doug Marrone and with E.J. Manuel, and it hasn't. So I've just been impressed with them. Their running game should be among the best in the NFL with the combination of Spiller and Jackson. And then defensively, I saw enough last year. And look, they made a big decision not to pay Bird the money. He goes to New Orleans. They've been fine. They've been fine on that end of the ball. I just like that story that's developed. Whether or not they can sustain it remains to be seen. But to me, they're a great early season story.
A couple more quick hitters here with Ian Eagle of CBS Sports here on the Morning Blitz on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.fm. Moving over to a local team with the St. Louis Rams, if you're Jeff Fisher, do you keep going with Austin Davis after what he's shown you in the first week of that week and a half, or do you go back to Sean Hill and go back with the veteran?
Yeah, interesting situation because Sean Hill doesn't have a resume that would lead you to believe that he's the de facto guy. But they watch practice. They know physically what the two are capable of. Davis wins in week two. Hill loses in week one, gets injured in the process. To me, they're in a position now where you just play the hot hand. And if they can ride Austin Davis a little longer, great. But I don't think either one of these two guys is locked in based on reputation and reputation alone. Hill's been a good backup in this league. He's had flashes in this league. But St. Louis is in a position now where they've just got to go with what's working. And Sean Hill just hasn't done enough to keep this job just based on who he is and what his background would lead you to believe. If Austin Davis is winning, I would think Jeff Fisher, who's been through this a little bit before, as we know, with Vince Young and Kerry Collins in Tennessee, had to juggle that around a little bit. He's going to go with the hot hand. He's been at this way too long not to sense who the team is responding to.
I had one last one also involving a local team out here. The Kansas City Chiefs off to an 0-2 start. Played a lot better against Denver than they did in week one. Can the Chiefs get anywhere close to what they were last year, or are we looking at a well under 500 year for Kansas City?
Yeah, the expectation level in the NFL, as we know, shifts based on success. But there is something that stands out every year in this league. There's a team that goes to the playoffs 1 year. In the very next year, they will finish in last place or close to last place in their division. Within the same thought, there's a team that was last place in their division. The very next year, they will go to the playoffs. That's what's great about this league. That's why I believe the NFL is number one in this country. There's a belief, and year to year, teams are not locked in. For so many years in the NBA and the NHL, and Major League Baseball. Before the season started, you felt as if you could predict the teams that were going to be in the playoffs. It didn't always work out the way that you projected, but you had a pretty good idea. NFL, things change quickly. Injuries play such a big role. Draft picks can have a big impact. And when you go out and pay big money for free agents, you can improve a great deal. But you could also struggle. Kansas City is dealing with that fact right now. They were better than anybody anticipated last year. Andy Reid turned the team around. But being able to maintain it in this league is really hard. It's really difficult. Year in, year out. I've been doing these games now 17 years. And it's a roller coaster ride for a lot of these franchises. If you don't have that grade A star quarterback, the parameters for your results are wide. And I think Kansas City is finding that out the hard way.
He's Ian Eagle of CBS Sports, one of the truly best in the business. Ian, really appreciate you taking the time to come on with us here on the Morning Blitz.
Hi, Brandon. Jeff, great to talk to you. I'm just going to go out and get myself some breakfast and get ready for the next assignment.
All right. Sounds good, Ian. Thanks once again. Ian Eagle of CBS Sports here on the Morning Blitz.